Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Rex Jones. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z.
Yes, sir.
Benjamin Netanyahu, is he alive or is he dead? What do you think, Rex?
Here's the thing. It's kind of like being a Jedi. You know, I think I would know if the Sith Lord had passed away. I think there'd be a disturbance in the Force. I'm not a true believer. Maybe that can be changed. I know you got some videos here you want to show me that we're going to go through and disseminate from the audience. But I think Palpatine's still around. But it's kind of like Schrodinger's dictator, right? Because you have the Ayatollah who may be dead in a coma, and then you have Netanyahu who may be fake and AI and dead.
Yeah.
So, like, what's going on? Are they alive or are they dead?
And, you know, if we're moving into a brave new world, maybe it's fine that he's dead. Maybe you just have AI Benjamin Netanyahu give addresses written by AI.
The first hologram world leader?
He can be the first hologram world leader. He can be the...
Like Futurama, the head in the jar?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. He can be our first president head in a jar, president of the world. I think it's great. I think that's good. There are some videos. It's not even like the AI artifacts that people are finding in the videos that I find suspicious. It's like the content of the videos themselves, that he's like in a coffee shop.
He's a caffeine addict. You got to stay awake when you're committing genocide.
I guess so. I guess you need the caffeine to fuel
stay
you.
Stay pumped, yeah.
Let's go to clip 30 here, clip 31. We'll go to clip 30 first. But even these are a follow-up. So like a week ago, people started saying Benjamin Netanyahu is dead. They hit his house. I guess his brother...
Right.
Was either hurt or died. Again, I can't even tell what's true and what's not. Everything
right.
Is
fog of war.
Been. But about a week ago, they said, okay, we looks like Netanyahu may have been hit. Then they came out with the two videos of him saying that they were bringing about the Messiah and we're going to rebuild the third temple. And like, that was crazy. And people noticed that there were some weird artifacts, you know, six fingered hands, things like that. So then these videos were released as a follow up to the first video. So the first video was released to prove he was alive. Everybody's like, why does he have six fingers? Then they released these videos to prove that those videos were real. Again, I don't know. Let's go to the video of him in the coffee shop. So they're basically like, are you dead? And he's like, I'm dying for some coffee. And he's got five fingers, see? Oh, five fingers there too. And now people are pointing out a bunch of stuff about this. It looks like AI.
Well, he's got a big gap between his two fingers in the middle there. I don't have one like that. Maybe that just means he's more alpha or something. I don't know.
I mean, the whole thing's kind of weird. The coffee isn't really moving when he moves the cup around. I mean, it could be AI. It's foam. Maybe.
The world doesn't get this kind of gift. What are you talking about? He's alive.
I bet he is alive. But why would you make a video at a coffee shop? Like, this is what I don't understand. He's like treating it like a joke, but it's like, you know, it's kind of real. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, if I'm the prime minister of a country and like I haven't been, it, we're in the middle of like the most intense war we've been in since the 70s. Tel Aviv is being bombed on a regular basis. They bombed the Mossad headquarters. They bombed your personal home. You're not going to take it seriously. You're not going to come out and reassure your people that you're alive. You're going to make it a big joke. And actually, I'm dying for some coffee. And it's like, I don't know, man. This is weird. Because the other thing, like your dad said, he was like, you know, Netanyahu is under the ground. He's in like, which I agree with. If I was Netanyahu, I wouldn't be walking around
like
on the surface anywhere.
Underground, yeah.
Right? But here he's drinking coffee in a coffee shop. There's another video where he's like on a hike or something. Clip 30 here. Let's go to clip 30. This is the other video that they put out proving that he's alive. And it's like, well, what is he doing? Aren't they waging a war right now? Shouldn't he be in a...
Is that Israel? Is that confirmed to be Israel?
I have no idea. And why is his security wearing masks? I don't know. The whole thing...
His security is probably like Brock Sampson from Venture Bros. Like, probably is the best security on the planet.
That's probably true.
I don't know. Like, why is he in this magnificent vineyard or wherever he is?
Why is he in a place that's vulnerable? Why is he doing this in the middle of the war? Why would you not just come out and give an actuals to talk about what was going on?
He's smart enough that could be pre-recorded. That could be another thing as well. The biggest evidence is that he missed that defense briefing. Bibi Netanyahu. I love you, baby. Bibi Netanyahu.
He's dead.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy. It locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Look, it's real, you guys. How dare you question? What are you, anti-Semitic? What are you spreading these Iranian talking points for? Of course this is real. Of course Netanyahu's alive. You can't fake this sort of stuff. I mean, I know AI is good, but no, he's alive. Look. It's all so obvious. Oh no, he's being arrested.
Excellent work.
The crew's having fun today. You know, I'm just trying to think, like, okay, if he did die, what would they do? Would they announce it?
They would nuke Iran. And like, that's that's my primary, like, reasoning as to why, like, I think that he's alive. I mean, that would be kind of like their, like, a gift to them, right?
They would want to use his death.
Let's think about it. Both the state and Netanyahu have this insane interest in staying alive. Netanyahu, because he sees himself as some sort of biblical figure who's going to bring back the greater Israel, and he wants to stay alive, much like Hitler, to implement his evil agenda. And then you have the people that are in the government, right? And if Netanyahu were to pass away right now, I mean, it'd be the best thing in the world for them, right? Like they get to say, wow, you know, this figurehead, this controversial figure who led our country to grow and expand, but also led our country into these genocidal conflicts. Well, he's dead now, so we get to wipe out the greatest enemy that caused it. And we're going to be reformed now, so you can't criticize us. That was all Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's my point.
That could work well. But here's the other thing. There have been very popular spiritual leaders in Israel who have prophesied that Netanyahu will be the final prime minister before the Messiah comes. And so the Messiah is, he's supposed to be the one that, like, ushers in the Messiah. So if he's dead and the Messiah's not here, they were wrong, and that would discredit that whole thing.
We actually, on Gray Area Talks on X or YouTube or Rumble, if you want to follow or subscribe to us there, we talked to an Israeli citizen. He basically laid it down like this. He's like, look, the secular Israelis, they have their own things that they want in government. They have the same survival thing going on where, like, they feel threatened so that they're going to kill people and vice versa. And he's like, hey, like, we're just fighting each other. Like, we're killing each other. It's like, what happens in that area? The ultra-Orthodox faction, they're, like, completely different human beings. They live in, like, kind of, like, self-imposed ghettos, like, they live in poverty that they impose on themselves, and they don't do military service, they don't pay taxes, they literally just beg for money on the street. That's who Netanyahu represents. So
the super, yeah, the very extreme
ultra orthodox Likudniks. Yes,
yeah, it's kind of the funny part is that, you know, it's like, well, all these Israelis are protesting against the war, and it's like they just don't want to fight because they think it's their lot in life to be paid to study the Torah all day.
Right.
So, like, they're just mad that they can't just sit around getting government checks and not having to fight.
Well, I mean, think about it. You have this massive military surge. He's called up, you know, like 100,000 reservists, or God knows how many.
450,000.
450,000. Then you got this whole group of people that are actually orchestrating the war that don't have to fight in it.
Have you seen the videos of the protests going on? It's all the Orthodox people just being beaten by the, you know, Israeli police.
Yeah. And that's the point I want to make. Like, here's the thing. I'm very against the Zionist state, genocide, evil, free Palestine, all of that. I believe in that 100%. Israel has nuclear weapons, and something's going to have to be figured out. Okay, like there's gonna have to be an arrangement where this government, whenever it gets phased out, like they're gonna have to make some serious concessions, reparations, do whatever they have to do. But ultimately, they're all religious radicals, and if they're threatened, the state is threatened, they're gonna use nuclear weapons. So it's very scary. And like as Americans, we've paid for all of this, we bankrolled their military, we gave them the nukes basically in the 50s. We're sitting here, we've lost control of this operation, and it's like the war just as a whole. We have no control over the situation. Trump wants to pretend that he has control over the situation. Trump wants to pretend that we have air superiority and total dominance, that we've blown up their military. Ain't no brakes on this train. Ain't no brakes on this train at all. Xi Jinping announced like last month that oil will be sold in renminbi. It will be sold in yuan. And he's going to make a deal with the Iranians, where the only ships they let pass through, they're buying that oil with Chinese currency. So we're watching the end of the petrodollar in real time, sacrificed to build an empire in the Middle East that hates us.
Yep. That was well put. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We are being, and again, that's why it's like even hard to cover this, because it's like we're talking about a war as if America is fighting a war to achieve a goal. But in
reality,
there
is no objective.
The people who started this war, they want to see America go down. They don't want to see America as a powerful, prosperous competitor to the new rising Middle East Israeli hegemony. So, the ultimate goal for them is, yeah, they want Iran defeated or at least destroyed to the point where it can't threaten Israel anymore. But if it's a Pyrrhic victory, that's ideal. They want America being hurt sort of as much as possible while still getting victory for Iran.
You know, the number one rule of warfare, of classical warfare, you have to know the nature of the conflict of which you're embarking on. And we had no idea at all. We made it 1,000 times worse by killing their Pope. That's how badly we didn't understand it.
Yep. And I keep saying that because it's right. The number one rule of war, know your enemy. Trump clearly doesn't know his enemy. Did you see the video? Did you see him being asked about Lebanon? And he's like, I guess they like being bombed. he's like, I don't know why they live there.
And tens of thousands have been displaced. The Israelis have announced that they're going to seize the land and that they're not allowed to come back. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they've literally said we're going to give Lebanon the Gaza treatment, which hilarious because
that's not nice.
They spent the entire time Gaza was happening saying we are the most moral army and we are hyper focused in limiting attacks against civilians as much as humanly possible. And now they're just like, actually, we'll do to you what we did to Gaza. Destroy all of it. Kill all of you.
This is a point I was making to my co-host, Tim Tompkins, on the Gray Area last night. I was going, well, he's like, international law, these rules, they don't mean anything. We ignore them. The whole world ignores them. It is what it is. But us primarily, I go, yeah, that's true. It's a lot like what happened in World War II with the chemical weapons and the treatment of prisoners and people ultimately in concentration camps, right? That's why we had Nuremberg. That's why we had the Geneva Convention, all these things that got made. After these horrible conflicts, guess what? 100 years later, we're rolling right into that again.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a new international framework after this because war crimes have been committed. Pete Hegseth, and here's the thing, I'm saying this on this platform, Pete Hegseth is a war criminal. They bombed that little girl's elementary school in the first strike, and they're still lying about it. They're still saying they're investigating. It was our munitions, it was our tomahawk, and we double tapped it. Trump came out there and said, well, you know, a lot of nations have tomahawks, you know, a lot of different countries. France, UK, Germany, Japan. Those are the nations that have tomahawks. Iran didn't drop a tomahawk on top of their own elementary school. Now, do I think that we deliberately suck out that elementary school and be like, we're going to bomb the elementary school first thing that we do? Absolutely not. I don't buy into that. It was negligence. It was incompetence. It was retardation, ultimately, or it was malevolent Israeli intelligence. That's what I believe. All those factors coinciding into the result. Look at what's happened. We are responsible. These are war crimes. And in a future discussion, it's not going to be us at the head of the table. It's going to be China and Russia.
Yeah.
And they're going to make the new rules. And we have no one but the Trump administration to blame for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
My opinion.
And that is the speculation that it was either AI being targeted, that it was using old information, or that Israel gave them wrong information. But it may have been on purpose because that school was located near an IRGC base, and basically the Iranian generals, that's where their kids went. So this may have well been a psychological attack.
Yeah.
To try to, you know.
But it's like the things that like a villain will do in a movie, like the villain will kill the hero's parents or, you know, like kill their dog, like John Wick or something. And they're like, nothing will ever happen to us. And then it's like, well, of course, the protagonist is going to come after you. You set up the story. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And you can't you can't blame them. I mean, we are just clearly the bad guys in all of this. And it's upsetting because, you know, they're only getting worse. And again, it's like, it's just absurd that they're even trying to like justify what's going on in Iran. And then they're just doing it in Lebanon. And it's like, even if you were justified in doing what you're doing to Iran, which I don't think you are, none of those arguments apply to Lebanon. Lebanon, we haven't been at war with Lebanon for 47 years.
That's
They haven't killed thousands of our people. I mean, you can sort of try to have your cake and eat it too.
The nation of Israel is the state, the capital of America. So technically they have, you see. And this is the nature of this entire war. That's what you have to understand. That's the 51st state. That's the capital in the Hunger Games. We're in the districts over here, you know, suffering, grinding it out. And, you know, they're in there wearing the costumes and all that.
Well, and again, just like what they're doing to Lebanon, it just exposes the lie about Iran. It's like, they come up with all these excuses for Iran, and then they just do exactly the same thing in Lebanon. They have no reason, no excuses for it. The death toll from Israeli attacks in Lebanon has risen to 886 now. So, like, they've just murdered nearly 1,000 people in Lebanon.
Hey, you know, brown lives don't matter. You know, who are they? They're a bunch of cavemen, bunch of muzzies. That's what I've heard these people call them. Just repeating what I've heard online. You know, their lives don't matter.
That must be it. I mean, they must hate all of us. They hate Christians, obviously. Those damn Muslims, right?
They hate them too.
Should we actually? Do you want to actually look at what is happening? Let's go to clip 21 here. This is a video of a new statue that was just put up in the Bekaa Valley. So, you know, one of the valleys being bombed right now. Let's go to clip 21 here. The Redeemer statue being erected on a mountaintop. That's weird for Muslims to do, isn't it? Isn't it weird that the extremist Muslims that just want to kill us all are erecting a gigantic statue of Jesus Christ over their homeland? Isn't that kind of strange?
Well, look, we're on the side of the place that has the tanks that hit the thousand-year-old churches, okay?
That's right.
That's who we support. We don't... Jesus, our strongest ally, they don't like him.
Yeah, never heard of him. Wow. So, yeah, again, so like this is actually going up in the, I believe it is in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. And I could show you more. I mean, there's like 150 villages that they have cleared out. Some of them were Christian.
They've cleansed them. They've cleansed the
villages. Ethnically cleansed them.
Yes.
And they've mobilized 450,000 reservists as ground operation in Lebanon begins. Israel destroys bridge in Lebanon, threatens, quote, Gaza scale destruction. Gaza-scale destruction, folks.
And see, first it was a thing they wouldn't admit to. They'd say all the bombings were targeted. Gaza's been very humane. Now they use it as a threat.
Yeah. Again, it's like, I don't know. How are they getting away with, like, any of this? What do we do, man? Like, what do we need to do? Because clearly talking about it doesn't matter. They don't care. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about how many people know it. So, like, they don't care about who gets voted for. Like, so what do we do here?
I am sorry for all the metaphor today, but I engage in it because it's a powerful communication tool that allows me to explain things to a wide audience. You have to think of the American voting public as a glass of water that's been left outside in freezing rain, okay? And the glass of water is now covered by a layer of ice, and that layer of ice is the boomer population. As that layer of ice melts and melts and melts, and eventually as the water becomes accessible, Uncle Sam can take a drink of water and heal himself. That's what we're waiting for. And we got to figure it out. We got to figure out how to win some of these older people over because the time is short. And the time between when the ice melts, when the system comes in, it's very close. So that's what we face. Hope that was a good metaphor.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But and that also, you know, explains why. I mean, obviously, Israel has bet it all on this chance to take out Iran.
It's smart. It's smart. They have to do it now because they understand the political capital. They're going to lose it.
Yeah, it's going away, so like they have to go for it now. So it's like, I don't know, how good of a strategy is it just to like wait to hope that they don't succeed and hope that, you know, in 10 years from now, like, I don't know, do we have that time or do we have less time?
Well, that's what we chronicle, man. That's our job, to tell the story of the age and to follow it and see what does end up happening. We don't know for sure, but I think we can make a positive change. I think we can do that, you know, 1%, 2%, 5% effort, you know, and that got Trump over the hill in 2016. Maybe we can do it again.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, the strategy I see people taking that I'm taking myself to a certain degree is like, maybe we do need to just like, go harder on all of this. Like
yes,
you know, when they claim that Tucker Carlson is a foreign agent and try to get him arrested by the, you know, DOJ, just totally baselessly. They're spying on him. It's like the reality is treason is punishable by death, and all of these people are treasonous. Everybody who's a Zionist in the federal government has committed treason.
Dual loyalty is illegal.
It's really not complicated, and they get it because if it's Qatar, then they understand just what a big deal it is to have, you know, foreign agents manipulating your foreign policy. It's the same thing with Zionists. We just anybody being shown to serve Israel in the American government needs to be tried for treason.
We got a little bit of time in this segment. Do you want to play the Greenblatt clip? You saw that I reposted that, right? I sent it to you, and I saw you cover it on the show today. I mean, this guy's an open foreign agent. This guy's calling for the creation of a Unit 8300. Unit 8200 is the IDF's, like, PSYOP, tactical warfare unit, the people that do things online. This is an American. I assume he's a dual citizen. I'm assuming speculation. Everything I say here is speculation. It's not a proof claim. This is all opinion protected under the First Amendment. But we'll go ahead and find the video if we can. This guy's calling for a foreign military operation on American citizens to regulate and surveil and control what they do online.
Literally. Hold on. Say that again. This man is a foreigner who is a American citizen who is calling on a foreign government to wage war on America.
Absolutely. Psychological warfare, cyber warfare on American citizens not protected by the Constitution. We throw that out the window. You live under Bibi's rule. So do we accept that as a country? Do we accept that as a nation? And if you don't believe me, I mean, the clip is everywhere. I'll repost it again after the show. They openly call for our enslavement. Okay, this is not a joke. And here's the thing. We as conservatives nominally, or whatever we want to call ourselves now, we as MAGA nominally, or whatever we call ourselves now, we'll just call ourselves America First Constitutional Conservatives, okay?
Yep.
We are supposed to live and die by that document. And we've seen with the Trump administration, Constitution means absolutely nothing. He can declare war when he wants. He can censor Americans when he wants. He can defame people when he wants because he's the president and he's our ruler.
Which is why it's important to stick to your principles, which is why, like, even though it was Trump doing it, I was against what was going on in Venezuela because it's like, no, we cannot set the precedent that Donald Trump is allowed to say, well, cocaine being trafficked is technically possibly killing people, so therefore it's an imminent threat and I get to declare war. It's like, no.
Look how they used that whole scenario to set him up. They go, we can do this operation in Venezuela and get Maduro, sir. We can do it. And they had the people in the government waiting to turn him in. They had the air defenses turned off. It was a CIA operation. Okay, like it was more CIA operation than a military operation. Let's just be honest. They openly bragged about having multiple people there that mapped the house for them so that they could go in.
Yeah. Well, they had a $50 million
bounty. And reward. They didn't pay the people out afterwards, by the way, which is an interesting tidbit. But my point being with that, that was set up to make Trump feel comfortable with a foreign conflict. And I consider it to be an act of war to take someone else's president illegally. But you can debate whether that's a war or a targeted military thing or whatever, because he was out of there in under 60 days. When this conflict popped off, Harrison, when this Iran war started, everyone was telling me War Powers Act, War Powers Act, 1973, under 60 days, he can do whatever he wants. Those people are real quiet now because it's probably not going to end in 60 days. And they know it. They know it. You out there, you're aware of what you've been pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, I know we had the Jonathan Greenblatt clip in the Alex Jones.
Sorry to throw that at you. Today.
No, I didn't pull it in. That's a different one, and we can go to that. You know, we'll go to that one now, but we'll pull in the other one that you're talking about. I don't know. This is a different one that's also been going viral, but this is just in service of what you were saying about Jonathan Greenblatt. And in the video that we show, I'm not sure if because, you know, I used that video in the Eighth Front, and I watched that whole press conference that Jonathan Greenblatt gave. He was in the Knesset, and he just kept using the word we. He just kept saying we. He literally considers himself an Israeli. Sometimes when he's in America, he'll say we and then correct himself and go, I mean, Israel, not
right.
In Israel, he's just like, yeah, we need to do this. We need to do this. We are famous for this and we are going to do this. So the whole thing, he considers himself an Israeli. This clip number two just is, you know, reemphasizing that. Let's watch.
So I think that the Jewish state of Israel has a degree of responsibility for Jews around the world. And has to realize that the policy decisions in Israel have practical implications. And then we, as Jews, need to realize we have a commitment to Eretz Israel. We have a commitment to Medinat Israel. We, as Jews in diaspora, need to realize that the comfort that we enjoy, the privilege we enjoy, the acceptance and equality that we enjoy, in part is because of the state of Israel. I firmly believe that our success is related to our sovereignty. And I will tell you something else. Why do they hate us? those countries, the names I just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's because of our sovereignty. They cannot tolerate the idea of Jews as equals. We are fine as long as we know our place. But those days are over. We do not need to be second-class citizens ever again. If you will, never again. So I think we as Jews need to recognize that our actions have consequences, our words have resonance, and we need to reaffirm our relationship to the state of Israel. And the only way we win, the only way we defeat the scourge, I think there are just three things. Number one, again, identity. Going on offense means preserving and reaffirming our Jewish identity. And you cannot take the Zion out of Jewish identity. This is one of the things that our enemies tell us. You know, there's this new idea, this ridiculous idea, diasporic Judaism. Diaspora is a condition. It's not an aspiration. Right? There's a reason why every siddur in every shul on the planet Earth, on every page, says something about Yerushalayim or Yisrael or Zion. Because you cannot take the Zionism out of Judaism. That is, that's Zionism didn't start with Theodor Herzl. Zionism didn't started not with Bibi. It started with Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't start in 1948. It started thousands of years ago.
All right. So there's Bela Lugosi talking about how...
But he admits what's really going on. He admits what's really going on. He brings up Theodor Herzl and Bibi Netanyahu, and he goes, no, but it's not that. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's who we are. It's who we are. What he's done is he's managed, and a lot of people like, if they managed to make that political ideology of radical Zionism, which is Zionism in general, call it what it is, he's paired that directly with the Jewish identity. So now, if you're against this stuff online, well, you're by default, you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Even though that's not true, even though that's a false dichotomy that he set up, right? But the average person, they don't understand that.
Right. And again, in the Eighth Front, like I deliberately about four or five times have them repeat because it's like every single person I watched in the preparation for that video, they all wanted to insist that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. That's like a key component of their entire operation.
It's a circular argument, and it lets them win.
Yeah, and it's the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism.
That's right. And, they're trying to get us to adopt that over here, aren't they? They want it to be a crime. They want you to go to jail if you're, you know, anti-Israel. Or you know what? You're allowed to be anti-Jewish or whatever. This is a free country.
Well, and that's exactly the thing, is that people get off the track and they start like crying about like the fact that it's Jews doing it. It's like, it's the First Amendment. No religion gets to do this.
That's
no
right.
Religion gets to assert supremacy over the rest of us. No religion should have an office in the federal government to push their religion's ideas on the rest of us. That is a violation of the First. It's like our founding fathers gave us the key to defeat all of this. We just have to actually apply it. We have to actually get rid of the foreign, you know, organizations like the ADL that are infesting our government. It's not because they're Jewish. Fine, if that's why you want to oppose it, but it's like principally and fundamentally, we should not be allowing this stuff. And it doesn't matter who they are. They're breaking the law and they're violating our fundamental values as Americans.
Another little fun tidbit, another little fun fact from Rex Jones's brain bank. Did you know the ACLU defended the KKK's right to march through a town of Holocaust survivors?
That was a long time ago, Rex.
How far our civil rights in this nation have fallen. And here's the thing. I don't agree with the KKK. I think that that's disgusting and I'm vehemently against it. They have the right to do it because this is a free country. Okay, we don't submit or serve anybody but God.
Amen. And then there's the lie that he says that the acceptance that we Jews enjoy is only because Israel exists and everybody's scared of us. It's like, I don't know, man. Actually, America loved Jews until like 2 years ago when y'all started murdering Palestinians. You ever thought about that?
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you feel in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is the War Room. The left are fundamentally unserious people. I'm so confused at why we can't bridge this gap. I can't remember who I was talking to about that, and we had another guest on the show, because at the time it was Leonardo Joni. I was talking about it during the break. Spain is like this rare European nation that is very outspokenly anti-Israel. They will not help Israel. They won't sell Israel weapons. And of course, there's a big conspiracy about how the fact that the minute Spain turned on Israel, suddenly their trains started blowing up. That was an interesting coincidence. But then at the same time, the government of Spain that is so powerfully and you know, to me, respectably standing up against Israel, just gave 500,000 Africans Spanish citizenship and is just like, I mean, censorship, surveillance. I mean, they are just destroying. I think since Pedro, whatever, the new leader of Spain, since he got into office, rapes have gone up 300%, right? So it's like, why can we not just have both? Why? What is wrong with us that we can't, like, both oppose Israel and also not commit national suicide. It's like they have set up this dichotomy where either you support the nationalistic government, which is really just 100% dedicated to Israel and Israel and Israel, and they'll just screw your country over for the sake of Israel every time, or you have to go over to the leftist who are just brain dead idiots that hate themselves and hate you and are trying to systematically destroy everything good in the world. It's like, how are these the two options we've been left with?
Rex? Well, what it is it's a true double-edged sword, right? So let me explain this to people in the audience. So you have one side of that sword, and that side is identity politics. That side is anti-colonialism. They view all Western countries, especially America, as being, you know, colonial projects that at their very core, at their very nature, are fundamentally flawed and must be overturned, and you must make something better where, you know, it's a rainbow world for everyone. Now, that's the negative, right? And we have a hard time with that. It's hard to get through to these people. It's hard to talk to them. Like, hey, like, you know, the founding fathers actually put together something pretty cool. And like, we want to keep that here and want to maintain the demographics and culture of the country. They'll break with you there. But where that mindset does allow them to have a little bit of insight, being anti-colonial, anti-genocide, ultimately, the things that happened in America happened 100, 200 years ago. It's actively happening in Israel right now, in Gaza, in Palestine, on top of the Palestinian people's heads. So you have this entire generation of people, multiple generations, really, that are raised on this anti-colonialism, this identity politics project, and you're telling them the whole time that there are evil people, evil classes that oppress and abuse the minorities of the world. Where's a better example for that than Israel, Gaza?
Right.
Right. So that's where the mindset comes in, where they're seeing the light on this issue because they've kind of been trained to see the light on this issue. And it shows that really the evil and the incompetence and just the lack of care from the elites are like, yeah, well, we program these people this way. It's going to make them rise up and try to overthrow us because they recognize that behavior that we're actually doing over here. We're lying about America doing. Right. And that's the key disconnect. I just put it in good words right there. Like, we're going to be able to make this work somehow. Spoiler alert, you aren't going to. On the right, the double-edged sword is, I don't need nobody to take care of me. I'm strong. I work for what I got. I pay my horrible health care bill. I let the government tax me because I'm a man, son. It's man's world. Now, the other side of that is, hey, like, why am I giving money to this foreign country that has no interest in me, that hates me, that controls my government, that commits genocide? So you see where those two blades, you see where they meet. Right. You see where that energy aligns, where you have the anti-colonialist, anti-genocide, and then you have the anti-strongman, anti-authoritarianism on the right. And that comes together and that's creating that popular movement. We're going to figure out how to resolve the other side of that issue. And I think it's a simple conversation. I think it comes with some compromise, some concession, mostly on their part. But hey, we don't have the right to genocide people, even though we did it to the Native Americans. That's not cool. Spoiler alert. But we're living here in 2026. We're going to stop it now going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you know, what I always say is that the left is right about Israel for the same reason it's wrong about everything else, right? They just, everything to them just falls into like simple categories, white people bad, non-white people good. When you apply that, you know, filter to the Israel conflict, you happen to arrive at the same conclusion I am, which is Israel is the bad guys. But for them, it's like because Israel's white and the Palestinians are brown. That's mine is more of a nationalistic argument. But again, I just don't understand how they can't like just think two steps further. Like they get that Israel's bad. Do they take that as a, do they realize that America has also been infiltrated, that like the vast majority of Republicans don't want what's going on?
The migration project. Like, do you understand the reason why you have all these Afghans and people like that in the UK that weren't there, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, right, by default, because they were in their home country? Well, their home country got destroyed by the West at the behest of Israel. So, of course, you're going to have the mass migration. And what is the goal of the mass migration? It's to have the permanent underclass that isn't used to the rights in a Western society. And hey, you know, eight people living in a studio apartment, that's a hell of a lot better than getting bombed every day.
Yeah.
You know, driving for Uber Eats, you know, for 21 hours a day, that's a lot better than, you know, watching your son in rubble.
Yeah.
You know, picking up out of there. So like, it's just,
so you're willing to put up with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the system that they build around us. Really what it is, it's a hatred of white culture. These people have a serious hatred of white culture. And they say that white people have no culture. Well, it's kind of like a fish in water. It's like ubiquitous.
Well, right? And it's also not true because they think that they're the champions of all the stuff that white people invented. I mean, they think they're on the side of free speech. They think they're on the side. Like, obviously, they are complete hypocrites because they, you know, I'm for free speech, just not hate speech. Right.
Right.
That type of stuff. You know, they don't actually believe what they say, but they think that they like are the freedom-loving ones and the liberal ones. They think that they're the champions of what they would themselves consider like white supremacy. That's the thing, is that it doesn't make any sense. Like,
the thing that we can partner with people like this is we can at least agree that hurting kids is wrong and these wars are wrong and genocide is wrong. And if we're able to get all the politicians out of our government that support those things based on that very basic coalition we have, we can actually have free and fair elections and debates and the best ideas can win. We're not in a situation right now where that's permissible or allowed.
Yeah. I just don't, I keep having conversations with people where they're like, you got to stop pushing the left-right divide. And it's like, okay, so you guys are going to stop trying to teach my kid to be trans? And they're like, wow, so you think all trans people should die? And it's like, all right, you know, what are we supposed to do here? Like, okay, we both agree on, like, I had a tweet about this, you know, a little conversation that's like, I hate Israel. Wow, I hate Israel too. What else do you believe? All white men are evil and trans kids are the most important thing in the world. And this, and it's like, all right, never mind then. You know, I thought we could agree on something. We agree, I guess, on Israel, but like everything else you believe is utterly retarded. So like, what the hell?
It's really going to lead to the balkanization of America. And I mean, we already see this, right? Like, different states have always had different identities and different people have always, you know, had arguments or disagreements with each other. But no, it's like red or blue. What do you bang? Like, what like, are you gangbanger? Are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Like, that's the psychosis that people operate in. And what I want to do is everyone can have political beliefs, ideologies, opinions. Let's stop subscribing to the two-party system and operating in that, please. I think that would create a lot of freedom for us if we could do that. If we could realize that, like, hey, like, we'll have a debate on the merit of our ideas, not the merit of, you know, the sports team that we support.
Nationalism has to be the answer because it's not impossible. Like, I feel like we've been indoctrinated into the idea that it is impossible for this to happen, but when Benjamin Netanyahu comes to America, both sides of the aisle stand up, yes, and check clear for him.
Oh, I make this point. I made this point on the street with people. Like, they make a big show always, and that's just what politics is. It's total theater. None of it's real. They're all middle management. They make such a show of the Democrats will stand up for Biden and the Republicans will sit down and vice versa. When Trump is up there, the Republicans stand, the Democrats sit. There's only one issue on the entire political platform. Abortions don't matter, guns don't matter, wars don't matter, economy doesn't matter. What matters? Israel. And the prime minister of Israel and our real president, our president for like 25 years, Bibi Netanyahu, because when he comes in, when he rolls on in, like MIGAs roll deep, M-I-G-A again, but they roll deep. When he comes in with the security escort and the fanfare and the trumpets, both sides clap like seals.
Yeah, and it's like, is it really so impossible to imagine an America where both parties at least have basic like respect and admiration for the president of the United States? It happens with Israel. They all have respect and admiration and consideration for the president of Israel, but they can't possibly, we could never elect somebody to the American presidency that would have the full-fledged support of both sides of the aisle, because you would think if there'd be one thing we could unify on, so we're all Americans. So like, we should all be in favor of America. And we should all say, hey, we're all going for America. And hey, when he talks about abortion, I'm not standing up, but he's the American president, damn it. And when he talks about America doing well, I'm going to stand up. We cannot do that if the left is dead set that America is evil. And they literally chant death to, I mean, you want to talk about chanting death to America. If chanting death to America was enough for us to bomb the leadership of Iran to death, have you heard the leftist ever? I mean, literally, there was a Rashida Tlaib event where they were chanting death to America. So like, how are we supposed to come together with people who literally want our country to go down?
Right. But I mean, how do we get here? Like, how do we get to the point where people are chanting that? Well, things are so bad domestically and we fought all these wars. People are dumb. They're ignorant. They're propagandized, but they know that something is wrong. So they lash out.
True.
And instead of creating a system for educating these people, teaching what America is really about, creating something positive that, hey, you know, like if something went well, if the Trump administration was great, we'd all be sitting here like drinking champagne. And we'd be convincing people to accept it because he would have done what he ran on, right? But you see these people lash out. Ultimately, our leaders have really defamed us, and they've defamed us not just to foreign countries and populations. They've defamed us to each other. Like, everyone's so wrapped up in all of this, and it's just it makes me really sad.
Well, and it's why democracy is evil, right? Because
Athens is a great example of that. Oh, the most liberal and awesome, and it collapses, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when they were trying to, when the rabble rousers were trying to get Greece into war with Persia, the king of Sparta said no, but the crowd of Athens was swayed. So like, it's weird, but it's often easier to sway a crowd than it is to sway a single person who's responsible for everybody. Yeah. Very, you know, important lesson, but you know, there was, I thought I maybe had it today. There was a tweet that went out that was just sort of the latest poll numbers of who in Europe thinks that their country takes too many refugees, too many migrants. And it's like 90% of Greece says too many migrants. I mean, there wasn't a number below 70, right? Every country in Europe. Yeah, Rashida Tlaib refuses to condemn death to America chance. Yeah, bomb her, all right? If we're going to bomb the
politically, not
Ayatollah. Well, I don't know. We're bombing the Ayatollah because they scream death to America. I'm just trying to keep the American government consistent. If that's the line you have to cross. But no, it's all arbitrary and ridiculous is the point I'm making. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know how we can come together
liberal,
on the left.
Liberal.
This is a great example. Let's go to clip number 12 here. This is a guy named Graham Platner. I think he's running for something. But you'll listen, you'll agree with like the first half of what he says, but he's a leftist, he's a liberal, he's a socialist. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So I really like, we're so close. They are so close. Like, that's the thing. It's not that like we need to come together. It's that like they are close, but they're wrong. And they need to be educated, I guess. I don't have much hope. Let's go to clip 12 here. Here's a guy who's like, he almost gets it. He almost understands what's happening. But in fact, he's doing the opposite of what he should. Let's go to clip 12.
I just have no patience for getting dragged in to, frankly, culture war issues that are being invented by the people that don't want us talking about raising their taxes. That's why it exists. And every single breath we take, just discussing culture war stuff that, quite frankly, has very little material reality for any of us. Every breath we take on that is a breath that we are not talking about universal health care. It is a breath we are not talking about going after wealth where it's been hoarded, not talking about breaking up corporate monopoly power in this country. That's what we need to be focusing on. But we do not sell people out. I refuse to accept that that is necessary in politics. A politics that is willing to sell anyone out will eventually sell everyone out.
All right, that doesn't mean anything, but it's what he's saying is I'm not willing to sell anybody out. What he means is I'm not willing to abandon the culture war fights that we started. Really, what he's saying is I'm not willing to abandon the trans people that we have created and shoved down everybody's throat. So he's just full of crap. Like, he's like, oh, these culture war things, these are distractions. But it's like, okay, so will you drop it? No. So shut up. Like, what's he talking about?
Here's the approach. You go, sir, I know you're a leftist, a liberal. I voted for Trump. That was a mistake. I was lied to. You have also been mistaken. You've also been lied to. We are both victims of this political system. We need to examine each other's positions and check for logical consistency. What do you believe in? And then you have that conversation. And in the spirit of doing that, and I'm really into this now, doing the Man on the Street, really want to do these types of interviews with people with opposing or traditionally opposing viewpoints. I really think we agree with more than we disagree on. Not in a clip farming way, not in a jubilee way, not to go viral, not to get clicks, but to have a real honest conversation. We're both willing to have like our stacks, our evidence, our research, and be like, this is my position on this. What do you agree on? What do you disagree on? And then you have that 3-hour discussion. I think that's what the country needs. It's called the Socratic discussion.
Yeah, I just, you know,
I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but we like, hey, that guy's closer to you than Bibi Netanyahu's closer to you, right?
Well, yeah, of course. And yeah, you know, like, I agree with him about like breaking up monopolies and stuff like that. And the thing is, he's right about what he's saying. He just has an inverted interpretation of it. The fact is that Occupy Wall Street led directly to the rise of identity politics. And people have charted it. There have been like studies on this. Literally, Occupy Wall Street started. And like right then,
headlines of racism go like that.
100%. So it's like, okay, the left created all of this cultural conflict, but like they don't think that's true. They're so lost in their delusion. They think that like trans people have always existed, and the problem only started when conservatives started hating them and attacking them. It's like what they believe about ICE in Minnesota, where it's like, the problem is that ICE is here, you know, trying to arrest migrants. It's like, no, ICE was always arresting migrants forever. For the last 4 decades or however long they've existed, they've done the same thing. The only difference is the left is now rioting and trying to stop them and blowing whistles. And it's their actions that are the instigations. They are the instigators every time, but they don't see that. So they literally think that like the trans issue, the whatever, you know, culture war issues, they think that they just like arose from the right wing randomly deciding one day to hate trans people. It's like all of this stuff was deliberately created by the elite to distract you, to get you to tear down your fellow Americans and to stop going after them. You're the ones falling for this. We're trying to defend our country from the thing you're falling for, right? I mean, do you see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going with it. Here's the thing, man. I'm just grateful for the peace president. He's the most peaceful man to have ever peaced before in the entire history of peace. I'm just grateful for the peace president, dog, because like all these issues we disagree with each other on, all these problems, they can all be solved when we meditate and thank, you know, not even thank God. We thank the real God. This is a joke. Donald Trump. Like the peace president, the number one leader, Mark Levin's best friend, Lindsey Graham's golfing buddy. Like that's what I support. So someone comes up to me and says, "What do you think about trans issues?" Someone comes up to me, they say, "What do you think about free speech? What do you think about healthcare?" I go, "What do you think about the peace president, the greatest president to ever president before in the history of presidency? Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Donald Trump. How could you forget about me?" Sorry, hope that
move
answers
aside,
your question.
Donald Trump. But isn't it funny that like that is the perception that they've always had? Oh, these Trumpers, they just believe whatever Trump is saying. It's literally never been the case. We have all never had any problem being like, Trump is wrong about this. He's doing this wrong. But now there are. I mean, again, it's like, okay, the cat turds out there, the Brendan Dillies, they really are just hook, line, and sinker. They are cult members who will believe anything Trump says. And so it's kind of like, all right, I can't even say the left is wrong about that now. That really does exist.
Well, that's the most painful thing about this. And I guess the point I was trying to make to your point, I think that there is a non-establishment and an establishment wing of both parties, right? And I'm not just talking about the people that are in elected office. Primarily, I'm talking about the voting electorate, like the people of the country. And on both sides, on right and left, there are people that hate the government. I think we can unite on that. And then there's people like, let's throw that up again. Let's get that up again.
Cat turd.
Let's get cat turd back up on the screen. Then there's people like this. This is a man who figured out that by attaching himself to an administration, he could gain fame, notoriety, and really a level of public visibility that a fat old man should never have. Sure. So he sits in his home. He sits in his porcelain throne, and he makes Twitter AdSense and Twitter money off of promoting war, promoting genocide, and really backing up the lies of like a Kim Jong-un level administration. So I just want to say thank you to Cat Turd. Salute to you. You are the real man. You are, you know, the real media. You're God, basically. So thank you, Cat Turd.
It really is pathetic. It really is pathetic. And it's going to be even more pathetic when all of these people are claiming that either they were always against the war the whole time, or I mean, they're just going to try to rewrite history.
Because after 2028, these people like they're going to be at, like a trailer park somewhere. Like,
yeah,
they're going to be like washing dogs in a van.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to pretend that they never said all of the stuff that they're saying right now, and that's a very
maybe people will be dumb enough though. You know, never underestimate the American public.
Never overestimate the American public. Maybe. Yeah, I don't. I mean. That I guess that's on their own soul to have to, you know, worry about their dishonesty. I just don't understand how people fall for it, man. It is truly beyond. I mean, it would be one thing if they had any explanation for what this war was about and what we're trying to achieve, but the fact that they are getting away with basically just like saying whatever pops into their mind at the moment, totally inconsistent, totally different what they said 5 minutes before. And they're just doing it. It's just truly insane.
We know what the goal of the war is. It's no mercy. That's what Pete Hegseth said. It's we're going to make it unlivable. They can't rebuild for 10 years. That's the purpose of the war. The purpose of the war is to make Iran a failed state so that Israel is able to take over Syria and Lebanon and other countries in the area and is able to implement the Greater Israel Project. And that's where we sit right now. That's the reality that we live in. And anyone that tells you that is not the reality and that we are not, in fact, fighting a war to make this all happen for that foreign power, for that foreign state, for that evil country that commits genocide, they're either lying to you, they're massively ignorant, or they have a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's bizarre to see people fall for it like this. It really is. And
I think public's gonna wake up. Dude, I got faith in the public. I believe in the American public. I'm white.
Do you? I'm going the other way, man. What is giving you faith in the American public? I'm the other direction.
I've been black pill. I get it. People oftentimes call me the black pillar. This stuff is cartoon bad and ridiculous. You got Trump calling Levin the great one and saying, and I am MAGA. Anyone that criticizes Levin is not MAGA. Levin was a never Trumper. Lindsey Graham ran against you. And these are the people you have up on stage. Like, spoiler alert, Trump, when you go do a rally against Massey and you're bragging that all the people drove 4 or 6 hours away to get to you, That means no one in the home district came. Okay. Yeah. But they believe they're smelling their own farts and they think it smells like roses. And to the American public, they see their hands are full of crap. That's the honest example I can give.
Yeah. This is from Apolitical. I thought this is pretty much the rundown for what's happened so far. Start war, give five different reasons for war, 80% disapproval, immediately blow up a little girl's school, surrendering all moral high ground, kill leadership, which is immediately replaced by more radical leadership, declare victory, have no contingency plan for closing the Straits of Hormuz, have no clear victory conditions, gas prices skyrocket, economy craters, service members killed, taxes wasted, bases blown up, no material gain for the American public, continue to declare victory.
Well, they're mostly peaceful explosions. They're mostly peaceful. Nothing to see here. Just like the summer of love. Just like COVID. 2 weeks to stop the spread. 24 to 48 hours to kill the Ayatollah and declare victory and all that. It's all. No one's buying it anymore. Okay. And us sitting here telling you the truth, we're going to be vindicated, right? And like anyone that wants to do this right now, there's free credibility on the table for you if you come out against this. Just telling you how it is. Like that's 20 years from now, people are going to ask you what your position on the Iran war was. And if you're a Gunther Eagleman, you're going to be working at Subway. Okay. So just think about that. Can we show Shroomforce one more time?
Yeah. Yeah. Shroomforce. And I should probably tell people, by the way, we have a big sale going on. And if you want to keep in touch with us and get a free bottle of methylene blue tincture, you can text InfoWars, all one word, to 342581.
So nice.
Text InfoWars, all one word, InfoWars, no spaces, to 342581. That's 342581. Text the word InfoWars and you get a free bottle of methylene blue tincture with the purchase of any product at thealexjonesstore.com, including the new iodine relaunch T3, incredibly powerful. Tell us about Shroomforce.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you about InfoWars Life product first. Let me tell you about Power Plant. If you're going to take methylene blue, you want to be taking Power Plant. Power Plant contains golden root, which was the foundational adaptogen the Soviets studied for their athletes. Okay. And the studies are all online. They're crazy. Also contains cordyceps mushroom. Basically, this has an elite performance stack for anyone that wants to try something traditionally like a super male vitality, traditionally like any sort of testosterone supplement, but it doesn't work directly in the way that they normally do. Instead of giving you this signal that eventually shuts you down, what this does is it allows your body to make more of what you naturally would make already, and the boron in it acutely will raise your free testosterone. Two powerful adaptogenic herbs and mushrooms, powerful mineral complex, powerful boron complex in here as well. You're going to want to get Power Plant from the AlexJonesStore.com. That being said, the same ingredient that's in here, can we get Shroomforce punched up really quick? Can we get it?
Shroomforce.com.
Shroomforce.com. Please go there and check it out if you're interested in functional mushrooms, functional adaptogens, all the top products. You see that golden root right there? That's the same thing inside of Power Plant. So if you're interested in that, if you had great results from that product, if you want to take more of that stacked on top of your Power Plant, higher doses are better, check out Shroomforce.com. 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 I'm sorry, Harrison. I'm so sorry.
Shroomforce.com.
Shroomforce.
I love it. And thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let know who sent you, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlterStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.